Our theme over the past number of weeks is building a healthy church, being healthy. Just on cue, Rob gives us a good cough there. And actually, over the last few weeks, there's been unbelievable amounts of sickness, hasn't there? What does that mean for us, though? Does that mean we need to stop praying because actually God's not doing stuff? Or does it mean the opposite? Actually, there's more opportunities to pray. I was chatting with Rob, who's never ill, has had a week off work. I've cancelled 2.5 days worth of stuff this week because actually not feeling very good, but actually needed to declare, God, I want healing on this. I want to be different. We need to persevere. We have this habit of thinking in worldly ways, don't we? We don't go to the doctors and saying, oh, that medicines don't work. I'm never going there again. No, we go back and say, doctor, that's no good. I need some more medicine. I need something that's appropriate. And that's what we need to do in our faith life, isn't it? We need to be praying in the name of Jesus. We need to persevere with Holy Spirit to change things. Because he's about changing things all the time. Oh, wrong way. Matt, I've boiled it. That's it. Richard put this slide up a few weeks ago when he was speaking to us. The church. We are the hope of the world. We, you and me, are the church. We have the answer. And the answer is Jesus. He makes all the difference. Jesus is the hope of the world. And because we know Jesus, we are a part of Jesus, Jesus is within us. Wherever we go, we bring hope. We need to think in the way God thinks. We need to think in the way Jesus brings and change situations. If you think about Jesus and the situations he went into, some of them were unbelievably depressing. But he walked in and brought life. He brought hope. And it's exactly the same for us. As we walk into situations, we bring hope. Why? Because we bring Jesus. We change the atmosphere. We need to start looking and seeing how things change. Because it is true. That's what Jesus does. He changes things. He brings hope. Why is that possible? Well, because Jesus came onto this earth to show us the way, to bring life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You think about relatives, sons and daughters, friends, family, giving over that person to somebody when you know they're going to be put in harm's way. And God did that for you, and he did it for me. Why? Because he wants to change us. He wants us to change where we are. Because that's why he came. And he gave us the final gift. And the final gift was that he hung on the cross to release us from sin. There's nothing we can do to make that happen. It's a final job. He hung on the cross so that we might have a new chance. We can live in the benefit of that. There's nothing you can do, there's nothing I can do that will make a difference to actually get rid of the rubbish that I've caused or created in my life. The upsets that I've brought to people. There's nothing I can do without God's grace, because Jesus has died to take away the messes that I've made, the messes that you have made. And why? Because when we have Jesus on board, when we have his heart, we will change things. We will be different. We will make a difference. Sometimes you can hear people saying, "Ah, but I..." This is local, obviously. "I ain't as bad as him." Translated, "He isn't as bad as somebody else," if you're unsure of the vernacular there. It doesn't make any difference. Whatever we have done, we have caused sorrow and pain to Father God. The things that we have done wrong cause pain. So if we're trying to say, "Oh, well, that person," and you choose any person you like out of history, "there is a horribleness, I'm not as bad as him." But actually the reality is, in God's sight, whatever we've done, it's in the same category. And Jesus hung for you and me to make a difference, to release us to be his. He took away that punishment that we should have taken. Richard put this side up, and I must admit, there's a longer version, but this, I was just fascinated by it when I read it again. There is nothing like the local church. When the church is working right, it transforms lives. Heart by heart, soul by soul, life by life. That's why the most important thing I can do is to lay down my life for the heart, my heart for the cause of Christ. Now that's an amazing statement there. That's what we're aiming at, isn't it? That's what church is about. That we're going to transform lives, transform hearts. They're going to be refreshed. Dave's going for some heart surgery in a few weeks' time. But God's doing heart surgery on us all the time. He's massaging our hearts. He's actually molding it. He's encouraging it. He's helping us to be fresh, to be new. Look around. It's happening. We're making a difference. We're making a difference. And I want more of that. I want more of that church. I'm guessing you want more of that church as well. And that church is us. It's us. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. No mistakes. Everybody's included. We are all a part of that. Everyone makes a difference. Do you like jigsaws? Jigsaws are weird things, aren't they? We take a nice picture and then chop it up. But actually, the way we do jigsaws is unbelievably different. Why? Because we are all different. Some of us actually get all the edge bits and sort them all out and do the edge, and then we start working in the middle. And there are other people that are going, oh look, there's a few together, I'll start there. So they put the few in the middle and then start building this picture. And all the bits are important. Helen from Romania, her mum and dad adopted one of the Romanian girls called Luminita. She's lived with them for quite some time now. She loves doing jigsaws. But she's a girl that has some needs, but she loves doing jigsaws. And she does it by getting all the edge parts and sets it all out. And then she starts at the bottom right-hand corner and finds the bit of jigsaw that fits there. Then she goes to the next one and finds the bit that goes next to it. Then finds the bit that goes next to that and goes all the way along the row and then does the first bit above that. I don't think the picture means anything to her. The picture is totally irrelevant to her. But she still gets there. We're all different, which is fantastic, because we are all a part of the body of Christ. Each one of us is a part of that church. We're all important. We all have a part to play. John 15, verse 16. When you first look at that slide, it depends what your background is. I've been in the teaching profession, and some people go, if my colleagues and teachers, they're going, wow, look at the state of that writing. And sometimes they're actually quite judgmental, some teachers are, because they're good at English. But they forget that things they're not very good at, other people are absolutely outstandingly brilliant at. They can't repair a car. They can't do this. They can't do that. But actually, we all have different gifts. You didn't choose me. This is Jesus speaking. I chose you. Jesus chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Do you ever go to the supermarket and you go, oh, the supermarket's fruit's not very good at that shop. If you go to that shop, it lasts longer. Producing lasting fruit. So that the Father will give you whatever you ask, using my name, the name of Jesus. Jesus chose us. We're special. We didn't choose him. He chose us. You can hear some people thinking, they're saying, well, I decided to follow Jesus. I chose Jesus. Oh, well, it might look like that. But the reality is, Jesus died on the cross because he'd already chosen you. He'd already chosen you. And because he'd chosen you, he took all that rubbish, those messes that you and I have made, and he took them to the cross. And that would be the finality of it. There's nothing we can do to improve on that. He went to the cross and did it because he chose us. He chose you. He chose me. Why? Because he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be that special fruit. That fruit that does things. Amazing things. Well, what amazing things are those? And we get sort of this grand picture of amazing things. And yes, God will ask us to do amazing things. But actually, sometimes, it's that smile that you give to somebody. It's that word of encouragement. It's that touch on somebody's arm when they're feeling not very good. It's praying for them. It's giving them a gift. It's all those simple things that actually make an amazing difference. It's one of the most bizarre stories. Years and years ago, I was actually waiting at a bus stop to go to college in Warsaw. That rings a bell, Kevin, doesn't it? And a friend of mine actually just drove past. And I smiled at him and I waved at him. Really deep stuff. He told me it changed his day. Why? Because he wasn't feeling in a good place and Jesus put something into his heart. By what? Smiling and waving. We can change things, do amazing things, and they start with little things. We don't know what everybody's going through. But when we ask in the name of Jesus, and we step out, because we are his ambassadors, aren't we? We're his instruments. We're the ones that bring hope. We can bring change. How are we going to do that? I am the vine, says Jesus. You are the branches. If you remain in me, if you remain in Jesus, and I in you, and he promises to be with us forever, which is quite a long time. Okay? Forever is quite a long time. You will bear much fruit. Now, funnily enough, it doesn't say, oh, if you're having a bad Monday, you won't bear fruit. It doesn't say that. It says, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Because that's why we're here. Because we realize, actually, without Jesus, we're a totally different person. With Jesus, we're actually an amazing person. I grant you, Monday morning, you might not be feeling so amazing, but actually, it's true. Jesus promises to help us to be fruitful. Could be a bit of pruning. Now, that looks pretty severe, doesn't it? That's somebody with a wish there. There doesn't seem to be anything left. There's some mad person gone to this tree. Now I have to say, and my wife will bear me out for this, not much of a gardener. But I know if there's something in the garden, you cut out the bad bits to give the rest of the plant a chance. And in our house, if there's nothing left, you get put outside the back door. Okay? Now, I haven't actually been put outside the back door yet. I'm a bit worried about that, but actually. But there's pruning. Pruning's gone on first to try and save the plant, to get rid of the rubbish, the dead stuff. And if you want it to grow taller, you cut the sides off. And if you want it to grow fatter, you chop the head off. I think that's what's happened to me, actually. It's a difficult process, pruning. And I have been let loose occasionally. I was pruning we had a spruce tree in our other garden. And I was really, because when you're up close, and then eventually I got down and Wendy's going, "You've gone a bit mad there, Dave." And there was like a twig with sort of bits on the top, you know. That's why I'm not let loose normally on the pruning. It can be a bit severe. You have to read this quite carefully because the way it's printed. The only way to be fruitful for God is if your heart is his garden. The only way you're going to be fruitful for God is if your heart is his garden. Now that written in August 2013, and I just happened to see that quote. And I looked up the name. And this lady, who's a Christian, actually in the past, some years before, used to write a lot of books. And from what I gather, they were pretty saucy. Not that I've ever read it, never heard of the lady before I found this quote. But then she's put up onto the internet, she says, "I'm not writing any more of those books because God's told me I need to write different stuff." She's allowed God to use her heart as his garden. God wants to work on our hearts and is working on our hearts so that we can understand the fullness of what God's doing in us and the vision he has for us. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. With a dad like that, how can we go wrong? How can we go wrong with a dad like that? Father God. We quite easily think it's okay for those people who've got lots of money or position. It's easy for them to do that, to influence. But actually that's the way of the world. We can influence and change and bring hope and heart to people that money will never be needed. Because his heart, God's heart, brings real change. We're working for the God of the universe. How are we going to do that? What's the fruit look like? I'll try that again. On Friday, I spent the day looking after my youngest granddaughter, Harriet. And I don't see Harriet regularly like my other granddaughters, not every week, it's every few weeks. But on that day, on Friday, Harriet was in my care. There was only Harriet and myself. Well, I'll tell you what, it's an unbelievable privilege to stick your hand out and a little hand grabs you, and wherever you take that person will go. Why? Because they trust you. She trusted me. And she knew when she got to steps that were too big, she needed to hang on to Grandpa, because otherwise she's going to fall down. Why is that an amazing picture? Because that's what God does for us. That's what God does for us. And he brings in his Holy Spirit fruit. And the fruit is the hope to the world. And what does that hope look like? It comes in the form of love. It comes in the form of peace. It comes in the form of patience. It comes in the form of kindness. It comes in the form of goodness. comes in the form of faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the gifts, the tools, that Jesus, through his Father, gives to us. You can't go wrong with stuff like that, can you? Fill my basket up. Fill your basket up with those. Because that fruit will always bring good fruit. And fruit, good fruit, brings hope. I'm going to put on a video. And this video is actually one I received in my email box from CAP, Christians Against Poverty. And it's not advertising them. It's just talking about our Jesus and what the difference that makes to us and the difference we can make to others. It's a bit challenging, but go with it.
It's a call to arms.
A call to disarm. Lay down your sword and pick up your staff.
Because pacifist never meant passive.
Jesus' love has never been passive. Serving the poor could never be passive.
And he was the one who showed us how. Roll back 2,000 years.
Sweat, tears.
Pain, a choice.
He felt.
He hurt.
He gave.
He chose.
Love.
And what do you choose?
What do you choose?
Because love is a choice and we all have to make it.
And pain is inevitable in this journey of faith.
And all that we have is all that he asks for this task we've been given.
Are the poor worth saving?
Are the dirty worth seeing?
Are they worth the time, the pain, the irritating conversations, the ups, the downs, the undulations?
The people who want help but just won't help themselves, are they worth it? Are we worth it?
Boldly to say, enough is enough, just as he said, that's enough.
That's enough oppression, poverty, self-inflation. That's enough ignoring the needs of a nation.
That woman with two pennies gave everything she had. What does that mean? What does it look like?
It looks like a man with 10 quid donated by a friend saying, I'm gonna bring all this injustice to an end.
It looks like faith whilst in fear, faith on a cliff top.
It looks like I don't know how I'm gonna do this, but I'm doing it anyway. And Jesus knew fear. Was it enough to die? Is it enough to live?
Are we gonna be the kind of people who say we love Jesus,
but turn a blind eye to the people who need us?
Seeing the pain and saying, that's enough.
Salt and light. Light and love.
He said, I came to set fire to the world. Let's light it up.
That world which is your street.
Your neighborhood, your people.
That world which hides the need, the suffering, the shame.
We're not kicking down doors, we're opening them up.
With a spirit not of fear, but of power and love.
We're speaking up to defend the rights of the poor and needy.
For the poor will be raised from the dust and lifted.
If you feed the hungry and take care of the oppressed, then your light will shine in the darkness.
I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy.
And are we not his instruments?
We, his instruments, his chain cutters.
Those that debt takes hostage, God sets free.
And on the day that it counts, the King will say,
whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me.
It's time for change, and we have the power.
But change comes in many forms.
Slow and steady, like an oak tree growing.
Loud and dramatic, like a volcano.
Like a revolution.
It ebbs and flows, it builds and it breaks. It is and it does, but what it shows is that
was enough.
Were we worth it? Yes, we were. Jesus chose you. Jesus chose me. How is all this possible? How in the earth does that fish do that? I don't know, actually, the answer to that one. Let me read this passage. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Those who believe in Jesus and what he did will do greater things, greater works than Jesus. Oh, but that's for them. That's for them special Christians. That's them that stand at the front or sit at the back. It's for those. I don't think it says any of that. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do. That's you and me. For those who believe, we believe in a Jesus that changed the world. And he changed the world and he went to his Father. And we are his instruments. We are his ambassadors. Those who believe, that's you and me, bring hope, bring change, bring newness, bring love. How? Because of Jesus. It's as simple as that. This is only possible because of what Jesus has done for us. He changed the whole landscape. He made the jigsaw possible. He's the center part of the jigsaw. We're all the bits that go round it. That would explain why some of us are funny shapes, isn't it, really? Fitting into the jigsaw. He died to set us free at no cost to us. It was a gift. That's some cool gift. It's even better than a bog-off at Tesco's. This gift doesn't require anything of us except to accept and believe in Jesus. And then we live in grace. We live in the fact that Jesus has done it all and we can follow his path. Because we know however hard we try, we can never improve on what Jesus has done without Jesus. It's as simple as that. However hard you try, however hard I try, I can't do any better. And if we want proof, we've all tried it. We've all tried it. We can't do it. Jesus is the one that gives us freedom, releases us, brings us to a new place. We're going to need some stuff to be able to do that. This is a bowl full of stuff that we need. These are the things that God empowers us with. These are the tools. And there aren't tools to say, oh, well, you can only have one of those because you haven't had that one. It says you can have all of these tools, and we need to build on these tools. It's like going to Aldi for a bloke. Because when you go to Aldi and the middle aisles, you go in down there and there's all these tools. And you go, I don't really need that tool, but it'd be great to buy it. If you're a tool man, that's the place to go. Aldi, there's some cracking tools. But the reality is, these are all tools to help us to be like Jesus. All tools to help us to be like Jesus. And there isn't one, oh, you can have this one and you can have that one. And if you're good on Fridays, you might be able to have a bit of faith. Or if you're special, you can have a bit of godliness or calmness. No, they're all tools that we can have so that we become and grow into the likeness of Jesus. Because Jesus changes stuff. Jesus changes stuff. We don't have to look much further than ourselves to see that he changes stuff. He changes stuff outside of here as well. He's doing amazing things. Even when you're perhaps not feeling too brill. Even when you're not feeling on top. On Friday, I've had 2.5 days trying to sort of rest and get myself going again. And as we were talking with Rob, you don't all feel cream crackered when you're not very well. Friday's Harriet Day, so we're taking her down. And I've got Harriet, she's sitting in that little car at Tesco's. Don't put any money in because Mum can't afford it. But she loves just sitting in the car. This guy comes along, and I'm thinking, I recognise him. It's an ex-teacher that I worked with some years ago. Seen him a couple of times since. Then he's talking to me because he's off work. High blood pressure and all sorts of things. And I said to him, I didn't say, actually I've been feeling pretty rough myself and feeling grotty. I actually said to him, I know this sounds stupid. Can I pray for you? And it's easy to do the opposite, isn't it? Oh, I've had a useless week. I'm feeling really rough. But actually, no. And I could say to myself, well, if I'm feeling rough, I've got no right to pray for anybody else. But it isn't like that. Because this toolkit that Jesus gives us is just a toolkit we can use any time. So he looks at me, you know, slightly gone out, because obviously I'm the mad person. But he says, yeah, that's okay, if you really want. So then, don't ask me twice, that's it. So outside Tesco's, I pray for him. Why? Because Jesus does stuff. He changes things. And this is the truth. Greater things are to come. Greater things are yet to come. Because of Jesus. Jesus is going to make all the difference. God promises it in His Word. We need to immerse ourselves in His Word. It's not an academic book. It isn't one that we actually create in a huge theology. It's actually getting the sucking the heart out of it. That's what the Bible does for us. It actually wraps around us and gives us truth and changes things. It changes our heart when we understand things. When we read stories and it suddenly comes to life. And we've read it lots of times. And suddenly Jesus brings the truth of God's word to life. And then we get that sense of God around us. That's how we keep on the path, keep on that path that he's straightening us to bring hope, to bring difference, to bring change. Because Jesus makes the difference. Jesus is in me today. Jesus is in you today. I am in him today. You are in him today. He is my new identity. I'm a different person because of Jesus. He makes an immense difference. He is the one that is going to make us fly, because Jesus wants us to be fruitful. Jesus wants us to be church. Jesus wants us to be the hope for the world, because we are church. Our identity is Jesus. It's like wearing a mask, it's like wearing a costume, and it's a Jesus costume. But that's such a silly picture, because actually it's something that brings life. It changes. It brings us new identity. It brings us to be church, and church brings us to actually change things around us. As a church, as individuals. But as individuals, we go out as church. Because of Jesus, he makes the difference. I'm going to play us a song now. Well, actually, that's pretty stupid. I'm not going to play it, because we would be in serious trouble if I was going to play it. My skills at playing Good King Gwentless on the recorder were 40 years ago, and that's it. Okay, that's my music skills in a nutshell. Okay, I've shared it all straight away. But actually, we're going to play a song. Now, the difference is this song is talking about the freedom that Jesus brings through the Spirit of the Lord. What I want us to do, it's actually quite a long song, so actually what I want us to do is, for the first part, I want us to actually just stand and allow that song to wash over us. This is God washing over us. This is Jesus washing over us. And then, what I'm going to ask you to do then, is then I want you to either sit down or stand up, whichever you want to do, is just pray for each of you. Pray in little groups. Just pray God's encouragement. God's blessing. We are church. Why? Because Jesus did it all. He did it all. There's nothing you can do that's going to actually improve on that. But what it can do is we can move out in that. So we're going to do that. I want you to stand, if you would, please. And I'm just going to play this first part, and then I want you to pray. And obviously, after that, there will be time, if people want to be prayed for or anything in particular, that would be fine afterwards. But obviously, we'll just allow this song to do its stuff. Okay. We'll see if this works. go into small groups now and then just pray, and we'll just bring the sound down a bit for you. And just pray and encourage those people around you. Just bless them and encourage them at this time.